Blog Talk Radio.
There is a chance for the President of the United States to use this disaster to carry out what his father, a phrase his father used, I think, only once and hasn't been used since, and that is a new world order. New world coming. America will become increasingly vulnerable to hostile attack on our homeland. And our military superiority will not entirely protect us. Americans will likely die on American soil.
And I believe it will also be said of this age, the first decade of the 21st century, that out of what is will be seen as the greatest restructuring of the global economy, perhaps one even greater than at the time of the Industrial Revolution, a new world order was created.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations, a new world order.
Now, get ready to enter the zone where real life is stranger than fiction, the place where the news may seem like a dream, and the dream may be a matrix of reality. Let us now expose all lie of the devil and bring to light all the secrets of the enemy, because God truth will set you free. John 8:32. You're listening to This Week in the Zone with your host and watchman on the wall, Phil Armstrong.
Hello, welcome to the Prophet Zone. This is Phil Armstrong. And for the next few minutes, we are going to be talking about being set free from addictions. I sympathize with everyone out there, and I will continue to sympathize with all of us because we live in a sinful or sin nature. We have a sin nature. Adam and Eve broken God's rules and commandments in the garden. They were told not to eat a specific tree, a particular fruit, and they did it anyway. And it's been radiating through history, and that's probably an understatement. God has a plan for each and every one of us. That plan is to be set free from sin. Now, today's church is telling its members that it's okay if you're living in sin, or it's okay if you got particular habits. God loves you anyway. And that's true, he does. But in the course of this show, I'm going to point out to you, not today, but in the course of the series that I'll be doing for a couple of months on Mondays, and we're going to get into Bible prophecy every day, practically, for 30 minutes to 3 hours when I start having guests. But the most important thing is that God wants to set you free. And a lot of the ministries going on in our country today, the main focus is prosperity and healing and how you're going to serve your community. Now, I can capstone all of that in one particular area, place in the Bible where Jesus sent out 72 of his disciples. And they came back and they said, "Master, we were able to heal the blind, you know, leopards and raise the dead." And he says, "Be thankful that your name is written in the book of life." So technically he was telling them, be thankful that you're not marred with sin, that I will forgive you on the cross, and everything will be fulfilled, and you are into heaven because your name is written in the book of life. So in other words, the things I'm going to tell y'all in this series, you should be thankful for more than what you have on this earth, because that can be taken in any day. Your life is what matters for eternity. Now, I got the show on for an hour, but if I get the gift of gab, I might extend it or I might go off early. It depends on what the Holy Spirit tells me. My testimony is that I had plenty of addictions, and I can see where people get it from, where they say, you know, God loves you the way you are, and you know, and God will, you know, tolerate you having sin. I can see where they get that from, but you have to read the whole Bible, and God will work in you. In Philippians 1:6, and I should try to go there, because let me see. Philippians 1:6. I know I can probably just tell you what it says, but I want to go there because, and I wasn't going to go there, but I want to read it because an individual gave me this verse before when I was in Michigan, and I was at a plasma bank, and I was sitting in the lobby, and this guy came in, looks like he was a member of a church or something. He sat in front of me, and he turned around and said, "How you doing?" You know, I introduced myself, and he introduced himself, and he said, "So what are your plans in life? What are you doing now?" And I told him what I was doing, which was technically probably a lie because I was drinking 40 ounces, and that's why I was at the plasma bank for, to get some more money to drink a 40 ounce. So I told him I was going to save some of my money and go out west and with practically no money in my pocket. He says, he didn't know if I was saved or not, but he says, "You know what? Go read Philippians 1:6 and pray about a decision, pray to God, should you do that or not." So I said, "Okay, whatever." And I went back to donate plasma, and I looked out in the lobby, and he was gone. So I went home, and I prayed about it, and out of nowhere, rejoin the army came up in my mind. I know it was God placed there in my heart and came up, and I read Philippians 1:6, and it says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Jesus is going to perform a work in you until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say this. He knows everybody by name. He knows the very hair on your head. And I know if you have heard this before, and you might not even believe it. But if you go look at the universe and the galaxies, and you go, you know, at least look at that from YouTube videos, and go to the library and open up some, you know, go to B. Dalton or, you know, whatever bookstore, Walton bookstore, and look at some books on creation and science and you know, how everything's made. And by then, you should believe that there's a creator. If not, the Bible calls you a fool. But anyway, and look at the vast creation. And you tell me, would he have any problems on knowing the very hair on your head? Because Jesus knew everything when he walked the face of the earth. But let me get to the point. I'm going to get straight to the point because I kind of caught myself there. I'm going to try to capsize the show and then start talking about it again. The closer you get to God, the less problems you're going to have. The further you get away from God, the more problems you're going to have. Now, you might have problems close to God, but it's probably going to be a different set of problems. Because you can't help but somebody pass away in your family, especially your immediate family. You can't help if you lose a job. You can't help. There's certain circumstances you can't help. But the more you stay closer to God, the more he's going to take those circumstances and build a better person. He's going to take those circumstances and things are going to work out according to his will. But the further away you move towards God, during the process of trials and tribulations, the more vulnerable you're going to have towards moving towards vices. And that's another show by itself. Now the show today is the closer you get to Christ, the less you're going to be tempted. But you're still going to be tempted. All right, now let me say that again. He's still going to tempt you. But the more powerful you're going to be to resist those temptations. The further away you move from Christ, the more vulnerable you are to go into the world. Now, I want to read something. I'm going to make a comparison here, or it's almost not a comparison. It's almost it's the opposite. Okay. Now, Jesus so loved the world. Now, I'm going to read this right now. For God so loved the world, God the Father so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, that's the whole world. So the Bible says, Jesus says, whoever will come, let him come. Now, it's an invitation that Jesus is offering to everyone to come. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. Verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, that men loveth darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Okay, so 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, the closer you move to God, the more inept you are to do his will. Now, what I want to concentrate on today is the love of God. Not the will of God, but the love of God, which is the will of God. But the love of God. Hold on for a second. I got it on my tablet. The next verse I want to read. Jude 21. It's only one chapter in Jude. Chapter 1, verse 21. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. The love of God is, I'm going to call it, everything that we do, if it's love, if it's the will of God, if it's to love your brothers and sisters, if it's to love your, anything that you do, I'm going to call it kryptonite. Reverse kryptonite or kryptonite. Kryptonite, if you know Superman, was powerful away from kryptonite, and he was weak when kryptonite got around him. It came from his planet. And when his enemies found some kryptonite, they were wrapping around Superman, he would get extremely weak. We can't see our spirit. We can't tell if it's weak, but we know if our body's weak. That's why Jesus said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The closer you get to Christ, in heart, body, mind, and soul, in other words, in Colossians 3, it tells you to set your affections on things above, not on things below. The world system that we have is a system. Now, God so loved the people. God so loved the world, the people, the world, the people of the world. He wished that none should perish but come to eternal life. God so loved the world, the people of the world. But the system is another choice that the people have to make. So, in other words, the Egyptians had the Israelites in bondage. And God told the Israelites to come out from among the Egyptians and be ye separate. the closer you get to Christ, the more you should be out of the world system. I'm going to have to take a break because I'm hearing some noise that's not going to be good for this radio show. I will be right back. I hate to put on some rap, but this is the only thing. This is my brother Johnson's music. Stand by. I'm probably going to cut it right off and start back again.
Bad news to good news. No more ill street blues. Transform from the old to the new. I got good news. Check it. Bad news to good news. Ill street blues. No matter where you move, cats still got dirt on you. Yeah, I remember you hustling on the block. At that time, it wasn't the gospel you had on the block. Shorty wear them Timbs and sack. Hung around the wrong crowd with the juice in the paper bag. Things I had got into at that time was only a couple inches from a life of crime. Till I found rhyming to be an architect. Started working on freestyle so I could get that check. But not yet. Down the road, I met Jesus Christ. Saw the good in me and he saved my life. Took the burning weight and my load was light. No beer runs, creeping out throughout the night. Dreaming of the spotlight luxuries. No more hangover misery, fighting my enemies, sharpening my eyesight, but cats still hating on you, debating on you. My past is void, I got the good news, straight from the headlines, blazing words, victory is mine, like Kojak's hairline, like Kojak's hairline, but cats sleep, proclaiming he'll be back next week, and talk is cheap, but there goes the action, now you see that proof, ain't nobody laughing, reactions are picture perfect. All this good news most definitely worth it. No more bad news. Brand new shoes from the upper room. Introducing my good news. From bad news to good news. No more ill street blues. Transform from the old to the new. Brand new Tim's, brand new lifestyle, brand new profile. Streets are talking, daily gossip for the day. You heard about Robert Jr., yeah, they cat got safe. But there's a Thomas of the hood, gotta see it to believe it. Say it's just a son, he'll be back to his old habits again. Well, there's no pretense, a transformation. Criminal character been erased from the nation. My habit for the poison's been eliminated. Through God's laboratory, I've been recreated. Cats still can't believe what they saw. And just like snakes in the grass, they plying my downfall. So I stand tall, enjoy the new status, tame the flesh, put the preach into the practice, and while cats bring up the past to expose me to the nosy, I put on wax so cats can hear my testimony. Expose the phony, address the issues, give props and respect to where it's due. And this is all said and done. No sweat on my back cause the battle's already won. So get rid of the gun, God. The only protection is from Jehovah Jireh. But in cats' ears, all you hear is blah blah blah. They want the bad news, but I got good news. Bad news to good news, no more ill street blues. Transform from the old to the new. Brand new Tim's, brand new lifestyle, brand new profile, no more rugged child. Bad news to good news, no more ill street blues. Transform from the old to the new. Brand new Tim's, brand new lifestyle, brand new profile, no more rugged child. Bad news to good news, no more ill street blues. Bad news to good news, no more ill street blues. Bad news to good news, no more ill street blues. Transform from the old to the new. Brand new Tim's, brand new lifestyle, brand new profile, no more rugged child. Bad news to good news.
Okay, I'm back. I hope y'all can hear me because I'm found out that my Blog Talk is having some problems again for the 50,000th time. So I hope the Lord bless the rest of the show. Lord Jesus, we pray, Father God, for easy flow for the rest of the show. God, we pray that we'll be power sent through the networks and through the speakers of the listeners' computer. And that there will be no more problems in the remainder of the show. Put your hands on it. The devil is attacking, but empower it in Jesus' name that it will be successful. And your word will not return back for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, yeah. So every time I've been on Blog Talk since 2009, and it's just every single show, almost every single show has had an activity or problem. And when I think when we get to heaven, we're going to find out that there were more attacks than I thought it was. And God's probably going to show us the method that they were using to attack it. And I've been listening to shows for a while, and it's just technical difficulties out the yin-yang. I think Blog Talk should even have two sites to lessen the blow, or even three sites to lessen the blow of having to carry extra data and weight, you know. So anyway, there is a contrast between choosing Egypt and choosing Jesus or God or the Holy Spirit, the God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But mainly our focus is on Jesus because the Holy Spirit is going to glorify Jesus, and God the Father sent Jesus as the mediator between God and him. So in order to pornography, all these are addictions, you first of all, the thing I can't stand about myself is I like to try to pack stuff in one show. And I shouldn't do that. And I'm trying my best not to have to say things that I should say, be able to say native, because I really didn't prepare it as an outright series. This show is just one show at a time that I think about what I'm going to say. But the will of God is something we need to stay inside of. And the most important thing, though, is the affections you have for Christ. Because you can't, remember, Jesus had the disciples had Jesus then. He said, blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believe. He had the disciples there with him, and they had him. We don't have the disciples. What we have is each other. And there are many counterparts to both the analogies that I gave you, the world system and the system that God is asking or calling out of that world system. So technically, he's calling out in verse 16 of John 3. He's actually calling people out of the same system that was in 1 John 2:15. So I'm not trying to insult your intelligence, but I'm going to read it again because I think we need to keep John 3:16 in the front of the show. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then I'm going to read the other verses. But first I'm going to read 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So that is two analogies. It's one that God is saying that I'm calling every human being out. Not every human being is going to be saved like some of these preachers are saying lately. And else you wouldn't need Jesus to come die because everybody would have been saved. Ain't anybody going to believe. Matter of fact, God is saying the majority of people are not going to believe. So you have to believe in Jesus Christ, and you have to live for Jesus Christ on a daily basis in order to go to heaven. Now, you probably haven't heard that one either. What you're hearing is that you can confess Jesus and then go live how you want to live and then be saved. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God, but he who does the will of my Father. You have to do the will of God. You have to love God to go to heaven. It talks about, because nobody up there, nobody's going to be in heaven who does not love God, who does not love Jesus. And let me get that verse again, because it's very important that we understand this verse. It says in Jude 26:20, verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, God is your power. If I haven't said that yet, God is the power. The gospel is the power. Jesus said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So God is calling people out of the world. He's calling people out of the system, out of Egypt. And when he calls you out of Egypt, he's calling you separate to be separate to live for him. You don't have Jesus today walking the face of the earth, but you have his spirit living in you, which even Jesus said, he says, it'll be better for you that I go, that I can send another one to you, the comforter that is found in the Gospel of John 14, 15, and 16. He's going to send the comforter that will live inside of you and will guide you into all truth. That's why he told the lady at the well, you must worship God in spirit and in truth. The spirit will show you the truth that you, but the spirit can't show you anything if you're not reading God's word. So you stay in God's word to come separately, and then you believe God's word. You have to understand God's word. You have to believe it. You have to pray. You have to seek. You have to seek the Lord God. You seek the spirit of God to show you all truth. Now, those are the two, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that's actually a silent, invitation to come out of the world, to come out of that world system that he's talking about in 1 John 2:15. Now, the other contrast to that, flip side, is that if you come out of the world, you become part of God's family. He says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. Jesus says, let me go to it, because I don't want to just read it verbatim. Jesus says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is that I love. I'm sorry, let me start back over. This is the Gospel of John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. He says in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. So the lordship must be here. Remember, I first started off and I was talking about disciple, being a disciple of Christ. Now, Christ is not here, but the Spirit of God is here, and we are many disciples. So the God says, do not forsake the gathering assemblies of yourselves. That means that when you're around brothers and sisters, you're fellowshipping as if Jesus is there, which two or three gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. You live your daily life, changing the subject, you live your daily life at work, play, wherever you're going, if you're at home with the kids, or if you're at work with the coworkers, or if you're on the town with your husband or wife, or you're on the town with a friend, you live your life. And you stay close to God. You can stay close to Jesus Christ in body, mind, and soul without being there with the physical body of Jesus Christ. In other words, when you're close, when your attention is to be close to Christ and to do his will, those vices go away. Because I'm gonna be honest with y'all. If you're not willing to follow Christ, then you're going to suffer those continuous corruption. So, in other words, if you have a sin of drinking, first of all, you have to find out the overall plan of God to stop drinking. Now, if you are not going to pick up the Bible and read it, somebody has to hurry up and get to you and tell you the overall plan of God. And one of the plans of God is God told you that drinking is a mocker. And he who does it is not wise. So if alcohol is getting you, you have to understand that the alcoholic will not get. Don't try to sit up there and say, am I an alcoholic or not? Do you need it enough to have this conversation that should I be drinking or not? If you have that conversation, I don't think most people drink because it tastes good. They drink because it makes them feel tipsy, high, or drunk. They like drinking. I like drinking. When I was drinking, I liked drinking. I didn't drink it because it tastes good. In that case, I can just drink some lemonade or something to drink. I can go get some root beer. But the closer you get to Christ and the more you want his will, the less you're going to want to sin. And there's no way around it. I'm going to do this show, and I don't care how many people listen. Because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because you have to get this right. Jesus asked us to count the cost. Count the cost. Now, if you don't understand what there is that you should be not, you should, it's not a matter of do's and don'ts. It's a matter of love. It's a matter of understanding what alcohol has done to people, or what sexual addictions have done to marriages, or what anger has done, what thievery has done. And understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, can't you do all of this in one show? What I'm telling you is this. In one show. God is calling people out. God is calling people to himself. You have to understand that he's calling people to come out. How do you think the world knows if you're a hypocrite or not? Come out of that very system that they're pointing out. They know their own. The world knows their own. And I'm going to read that scripture right now. If you are of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. The world can call somebody a hypocrite in a heartbeat, my friend. The world knows if you are, they will come up to you, they have come up to me and told me you're different. How do they know that? Because you're the light of the world. Christ is calling people out. Now I'm going to read Romans 12 about the will of God. And I wasn't intending on putting this in here, but I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And this is the world that is talking about in 1 John 2:15. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that will. That you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you come out of the world's system, the world's beliefs, submit yourself to God, the devil's going to flee. But the more you submit yourself to God, the more you're going to enter into that reverse kryptonite. You're going to enter into that spinach for Popeye. You're going to enter into that Olympic stars diet of truth. Because the truth is what? Going to set you free. So the closer you get to Christ in truth, and the Spirit will show you all truth, the closer you get to Christ. Now, let me show you how to do that. The Word of God is going to show you what truth really is. But formality speaking, you need to read the Bible. That's not what I'm saying. The main thing, if you listen to this radio show, especially on Mondays, we talk about Bible prophecy the rest of the week. But, 2 days a week we talk about spiritual, and we're going to start talking about spiritual matters. And because we want to disciple you. We want to disciple me. I want to disciple you. I want you to disciple me. I want to be discipled. But the most important thing is that the closer we get to God's will, purpose, power in our lives, the less we're going to sin. Now, love is I'm going to read the deck, because I was at church doing, we were doing a series on love. And let me see where I put it, the definition of Wikipedia. Okay, now Wikipedia has the complete opposite of what my pastor is talking about. Now, love is an action word. If you love me, keep my commandments. You know, love is an action thing. You if you love somebody, you do things, you have action. Love is not a feeling. It is a feeling, but it's not a feeling. You might not want to do something, but you love God enough, you go do it. Some people don't want to pay tithe. Now, the Bible says do not give grudgingly, so I guess that's a bad example. But some people don't want to go soul winning. Some people might not want to go. I know when I was in Hawaii, there's certain days I didn't want to go soul winning, but I went anyway because I love God. There's things I do for my wife, for my kids, I don't really want to do, but I do it. There's things I want to do for myself, I really don't do it, but I love myself, because I have to love my, if I love my neighbor, I ask myself, God's telling me, but he never told you directly to love yourself, because he know you should be loving yourself, because he asked you to love your neighbor and love your wife as you love yourself. But the thing I want to get to on this program is that unless you go seek the Lord and find him, you're going to have those same problems. You say, well, you're talking to a church member. I can tell you right now, as a person who had sexual addictions. I've had alcohol addictions. I've had anger addictions. I call it anger. I have coveting addictions. I've had all of that stuff. Have I arrived? No, because God's still working on stuff, and he's still working on those same things. There's an airplane underneath of me, so if you hear the rumbling, it's an airplane. We got an airport down the road, a military airport. So you have to read your word daily and seek the Lord with all your heart, and then you're going to stop doing it. I can't tell you anything else. Matter of fact, I shouldn't even have to do another show. Because technically, the first show, I'm just throwing everything in there. I'm just telling you that unless you seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness, you're not going to see God. Unless you repent, you're not going to see God. Repent means make an about face from your sins and go towards God or go with God. You're not going to come out of Egypt unless you want to come out of Egypt. Now, can God take us out of this? Is he going to take us? Eventually he's going to rapture us out. But God told the disciples to go. He's praying to the Father. Said, I can't take him out of the world. I have to leave him here. But you can come out of the system in your heart. But people aren't willing to come out of the system. They want to stay in the system. Because it's fun. They have things to lose. And if their friend's not doing it, if their relatives and their husband and their wife, their girlfriend, their boyfriend's not doing it, they're not going to want to do it. But you got to get up in your body, in your heart, in your affections, in your mind, and leave Egypt. And the Egyptians are coming after you. The system is coming after you. The system is coming to get you. Before you cross over that pandorum into total salvation. You say, well, I thought I would say, not everybody says to me, Lord, Lord, should enter the kingdom of God. So don't buy that crap. If you said the sinner's prayer, you're going to heaven. You're not going to lose your salvation. They probably wouldn't say in the first place. It's not for me to know. By faith, I'm going to believe that you're saved because you're saying you're saved. But when you start to show different types of fruits, I'm gonna talk to you and I'm gonna say, brother, sister, what's wrong? You can't do it that way. God loves you. He's gonna give you strength. And we're gonna know at the end of time who was saved and who was not. But God knows before the foundation of the earth. Jesus was here way before Abraham was, I am. He was here way back then, way trillions of years ago. So he's calling a nation out. The church is being called out at the time of grace. And one day, the grace time period will be over and the church will be raptured out of here. And the time is coming when man will not endure sound doctrine. And they will leave and go back to Egypt. So they're going to pick up all their stuff and they're going to go back to Egypt. Or they're going to look for something else. And they're going to look for the itching ears, what their itching ears want to hear. But they're going to look for some other calf. Build us a calf so we can worship it. Build me something else. I want to hear something else. I want to hear another type of gospel. I am tired of telling me that Jesus got to be both my Lord and Savior. And see, when Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you need to be close to Christ as you can. And are you going to be tempted of the devil? Yeah, probably so. The Bible says in James 4:6-7, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But he'll be back. Okay, I'm back. I don't know how much we missed of that. I don't even know how this show is going to sound. So for right now, I'm changing the time of the show already because this is just crazy. Blog Talk. I've been on Blog Talk for a while, so I'm probably going to stay with them until Jesus calls me home or the rapture of the church or they go out of business. I'm going to stay with Blog Talk. I mean, I've had some friends try to say bad things about Blog Talk, and I believe them. However, Blog Talk has a platform that is a blessing towards God. I just have to find out the right time to do a show. I don't know if anybody heard me out there. There's probably been times where I've probably cut out. And I don't have a chat room for anybody to tell me they can hear me or not or whatever. But like I say, folks, God is calling you out. He's calling us out of the world in these last days. That's why we call it the prophecy zone. We're going to be talking about Bible prophecy, but we're also going to be a disciple ministry where partial of our ministry is to disciple. And we might even change. I don't think I'm ever going to change the name of the prophecy zone, but I'm probably going to open up another account and work off of another account. Like, for instance, I have a radio show called, I have a network. My whole network is called Common Salvation Ministry. So, and I believe in that. I believe it's a common salvation that Jude wanted to talk about, but he never got around to do it. The common salvation is a simple salvation that it works. It's powerful. It's a powerful salvation. Tomorrow, please stand by because I want to talk about Bible prophecy. And we have to get really good at Bible prophecy because we need to exhibit what's going to happen, and we need to combine it with we need to articulate that we need to get ready for Christ's return. And people have been hearing this for thousands of years, hundreds of years, and, you know, or many years, but people are not going to believe it until it actually happens. And I know that's what's the case. I mean, that's exactly what's going to happen is no one's going to believe that Christ is going to return until he actually returns and zaps his church out. And you see all these car wrecks and all of these kids missing from these schools and all these things happening. And the world is in total chaos. And it will continue to be in chaos for the after the rapture of the church for the next 7 years. And not everyone is going to go in the rapture of the church. Not everyone is going to, who says that I'm a Christian, is going to go in the rapture of the church. And for those who don't know what the rapture is when Jesus a organization called the Church. Okay, well, I'm back once again. I'm going to probably record my shows before I put them on because I mean this is just ridiculous. Blog talk. I've been doing it for 5 years, and it's time to start recording my shows separately from Blog Talk and then put them up on Blog Talk and every other media. Because it's just, I mean, this is the devil's attacks. I mean, it could be just normal technical-ish problems, but I've been on here 5 years, and I know it couldn't have been this bad for 5 years straight. So I'm just going to say it's the devil attacking. And then I look at the screen, and you don't know if you hung up or not. So I'm going to listen to the show later on and then see if I can salvage anything out of it. And hopefully maybe y'all have heard enough to get something out of it. I'm going to definitely record some of the Bible prophecy shows because I want you guys to get the disciple. And that's probably one of the reasons why I just started talking and blabbing my mouth so quickly and so trying to push things out, because this Blog Talk has a way of chopping you off while you think you're saying something and you're not saying nothing at all, especially if you don't have a chat room open. And I'm not going back to chat rooms. So, like I say, we're going to do Facebook. We're going to do, YouTube and other, and to keep it honest, because, just Blog Talk alone is killing me. I mean, you know, and that's been one of my problems in the first place, is that Blog Talk never have ever been really smooth. It's never been. I don't think I've ever did a smooth show. Maybe one show out of 300 shows, 400 shows. I've actually had it where I didn't have to really figure out this thing was going to hang up on me or not. That's crazy. I mean, if you really think about it, I mean, that shouldn't even be a problem by now. They should have been well advanced. But it's a blessing and an honor to be able to use Blog Talk. I mean, it really is. But like right now, I can't even go on like Facebook or a news outlet and see what's going on at the same time without hearing this weird sound and telling me that I've lost connection again from Skype. So, yeah, I mean, I can probably hook, I just thought of it, but I've tried it before, I think, when I tried to hook my microphone up to my cell phone and up from there do a radio program from Skype. But I'm going to try that in the future and see if it works. It'll be just a test show. But join me tomorrow. I'll be talking about Bible prophecy. I might even switch it Mondays. Talk about Bible prophecies, and Tuesdays talk about spiritual discipleship, because it's important what I was saying. I mean, you folks, you have to be willing to have a changed heart and a changed life. You got to let God do the work inside of you, and you got to be honest with God. That's where repentance come in. Unless you repent, you're going to perish. And that's true. That's not just me. You have to pick up the Bible. A lot of people say, well, that's your interpretation. No, you pick up the Bible, and you have the interpretation there. And I think people get fooled by the various types of interpretation. I call it the gospel according to Marie, the gospel according to Ray Ray, the gospel according to Mr. Johnson down the street. Everybody has their own gospel. But the true gospel, if you pick up the King James Version, or I hate to say it, any of the other versions, but mainly the King James Version, I don't pick up nothing else. I think that's what's wrong with this. It's like taking diluted medicine. You know, I take my daughter to the hospital, my son to the hospital, and give him this liquid medicine. Imagine me putting water in it and then giving it to him. That's exactly what the King and the New King James and the other ones are. I can't say much for the New King James, but I know the International and all the other ones are looked down. And you're not going to get hot reading Luke. You're not going to get well, or you're not going to get supercharged by, you know, drinking and eating food that's diluted. You know, people are getting sick in our society from eating messed up foods from factories that process very bad habits. And people are not only doing spiritual matters like that, or physical matters. You know, you're going to Kentucky Fried Chicken and eating who knows what the heck you're eating, and McDonald's. And now, I mean, you go on TV and you got artificial crap. And then you go to church and get artificial crap thrown at you. I mean, heck, we got artificial everywhere. We're living in the matrix, folks. And like I said before, you're being called out from among the world. I mean, every day, God is, I can feel the Spirit just weaning me off of certain things. I can feel him getting me ready. I can feel his work in my life. I can feel it. And I resist it sometimes. I actually resist some of the work that he's trying to do. And I don't know if I mean harm, but I don't understand what he's trying to do, and I try to pull back or whatever. But I think I'm getting to a point right now that I'm getting kind of agitated to even pull back. In any way, because there's nothing out there. There's nothing out there. Even the person's out there partying knows in their heart that there's nothing out there. There's nothing. And I think even a young person, I work with young kids at a treatment center, and I think they even know life is sometimes worthless when you're just doing partying and doing everything else. And let me explain this, too. I got 5 minutes real quickly. We're either going to be our own Lord or Jesus is going to be our Lord. And you say, well, you said earlier in the show, if you heard me, if I wasn't cut off, it's to stay in the love of God in Jude 21. Stay in the love of God. If you love me, you keep my commandments. Stay in the love of God. So God is telling you, if you're obedient to him, you love me. Because I said earlier that love is an action. Love can be a feeling too. I don't feel like loving you though, sometimes. You don't feel like loving your sister or your brother or your family member or next door neighbor. You don't feel like loving them. But, I mean, come on. Love is an action. It's not a feeling. If it was a feeling, then you're going to be waiting forever to figure out if you love somebody to go out soul winning. God is telling us, and he's calling us out of this world. He's calling us out of Egypt. He's calling us out of Egypt to follow him. Are you going to be a fan or a follower? Fans like the team. They care about the team. They I think they're pretty really cool. Went to Seattle Seahawks. I was a fan of Seattle Seahawks. I wasn't a follower. My coworker Dave and a couple of other guys, Chris is a follower of the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, they got all their colors. They got their jackets. They got their, I mean, heck, Chris got his whole house decorated Seattle Seahawks color. He was even telling me about he was going to get his tires painted green. So if he tried to sell the truck, there's a special type of paint. He can peel it off. I say, wow. That's what you call a sellout to the Seattle Seahawks. Well, how about selling out to Christ for all you church members and goers? Just because if I'm standing in the garage, does not make me a car. We have to give our heart to Christ, give our motives to Christ, and then you submit yourself to God, then all the devil will flee, and then your flesh will probably get a lot stronger. I'm not saying overnight. This might not happen overnight. If you say, I'm going to submit myself to Christ, it might not happen overnight, but you better hurry up. Time's running out. God loves you. He really does. He loved me enough to put up with my stuff for a while. But had I died in the position that I was in, would I have went to heaven? Because I struggle with a sin. See, we have the at least during my midlife crisis. Why did some
You have been listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Be sure to check out our website at www.pzrn.org. Also, like us on Facebook at Prophecy Zone Radio News and at YouTube at Prophecy Zone.
Be sure to check us out next time on the Prophecy Zone as we explore the past, observe the present, and hope for the soon future return of the Savior Jesus.
God bless.